Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
From Paul Simon. Welcome to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block. It is Thursday, and I am your host, Jim Christina, in my little disease-free studio in Star, Idaho, coming to you live with my co-host and the wonderful personality and good friend, Bobby Jean Bell from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I'm here.
You are here.
Sheltering and shut down.
Sheltering and shutting down. I just was talking to Ronan before he hooked up with you guys, and he says he's done with this now. He's ready for it to be over with.
Yeah, the novelty has kind of worn off, hasn't it?
Well, he's got a couple kids at home, and they're probably into everything at this point. So I know how kids can be.
So you're doing well, though? You're doing well through all of this? No worries? No challenges?
My daughter actually wound up with coronavirus in Atlanta.
Oh, she did? How was she?
Fine. She's getting better every day.
Oh, good.
She's one of the ones that she got, her boss called her and laid her off.
Oh.
The phone? She laid you off on phone? She goes, yeah. I said, that's kind of chicken crap. And she goes, yeah, well, it is what it is.
Well, how can they do that?
Well, it's only temporary.
Okay.
She's director for card leadership.
Oh, I'm hearing an echo on me. Do you hear that?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't hear it. Oh, you do, Richard?
I do. Yeah.
I wonder if Ronan should call me back.
I don't know. Maybe he should. Okay. But at any rate, so everything is swimming, and of course, our little announcement goes without saying that even though you're on furlough or you're planning to stay home because of the coronavirus, we appreciate you listening to our little radio station and our radio show. And we realize that you have a lot of different options. So thank you very much for spending the time listening to us on Thursday nights instead of watching TV or whatever it is that you do. And us at the crew of the Writer's Block, we certainly hope things get back to normal fairly soon, like yesterday. We're all hurting. And again, thanks for listening, and especially to our engineer, Ronan, who I think is about ready to kill himself. But don't do it, buddy. Don't do it. Okay. Tonight, we don't have a writer. Well, we have a writer. Actually, he's a writer.
Hey, now.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I get ahead of myself. He actually is a writer, but he's also an editor, and he's a publicist. He's a publisher, along with myself and Black Dog and Tuscany Bay Books. And we just are finishing up now the third or fourth book, Richard, in the Planetary Anthology series.
The fourth book comes out on Tuesday. That would be Mercury.
Okay, Mercury, right. And so please welcome back to the Writer's Block and a former co-host, in-studio co-host, I might add, along with Bobby Jean Bell, Mr. Richard Polinelli.
Hey,
thank you. Hey. Clap, Richard.
Yeah, live from Quarantine Station, Omaha, Nebraska.
So there you go. You got the flap and you didn't even have to leave town to get it. So there,
there you go. You know, it was funny going out the interstate when we moved out here. There was a lot of people lined up clapping. Now I know why.
Oh, they were applauding.
Yeah.
Do you, where you both live, is it mandatory to wear a mask when you go outside now, or is that still up to you?
No, Nebraska, aside from Douglas County, which is where Omaha is, most of Nebraska is doing pretty good. There's one little spot west of here in Grand Island that somehow is a hot spot. There's not that many people. You wouldn't think there would be. But, I mean, for the most part, we're doing okay. They did close down things like dining in at restaurants. I bowl in a bowling league. We haven't bowled in about a month because they shut that down. But you can still kind of go out and about. They do want you to keep the 6 feet of distance and just, if you're not feeling right, put a mask on, you know, or just stay home. And a lot of people out here are doing that. And so we're not as bad off as a lot of other places.
Yeah. And here in lovely, beautiful downtown Star, Idaho, naturally, you're naturally 6 feet away from everybody anyway, because nobody lives here.
Yeah. So
it's like, you know, my nearest neighbor is like half a mile away. No, that's not true. He's right across the street. But everybody's just, you know, parking in place voluntarily. Our governor finally signed the order to have everybody have to. It's mandatory now. You have to stay in. But you can go shopping. If you have to, they don't want you out driving around, you know, and just kind of cruising. They don't want you congregating with your friends in the yard, but they, you know, other than that, we're pretty good here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're down to going to the store twice a week and to the post office once a week. And, you know, that's pretty much the only time I see the sun anymore. But, it could be a whole lot worse. I think it could have been a whole lot worse. But I think we're coming close to a point where I think it's going to start getting a little bit better.
Well, I hope so.
And hopefully we'll be, by the end of the month, hopefully we can start getting back to normal. I don't know if we'll ever get back to full normal for a while, but at least we could start.
It'll be a different normal.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it's ever going to be the same again. I don't think ever.
No.
It's ever going to be the same again.
Reinvented normal.
Well, that's okay. I mean, maybe we needed it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Kind of in a biblical sense. You know, it's like we parted the Red Sea. Now somebody has to put it back together again.
Well, you know, what's odd is about 2 years ago, there's an anthology that I was in. And the short story that I wrote for that is frighteningly similar to what we're going through right now. Only it obviously was a little bit worse because it was a sci-fi story. But I was watching the early days of this going on. And I'm thinking about this story. And I'm going, I don't want to be a prophet anymore because I don't want to see us go where that story goes. And I'm happy to report it's not. I don't think we're going to be quite as bad. But it was weird to watch this play out, having written it 2 years ago.
You know, in the same vein, Stephen King just published an apology for people feeling like they're living in a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
and he specifically said, I wrote The Stand in 1979 or 78. And he says, I always knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a precursor, but it wasn't.
Well,
whatever that means. But you know, he said, I'm really sorry if y'all feel like you're living in one of my books, but you're really not. This is not Captain Trips. It's not the Superflu. It's just a virus, and it got out. And
Tosca Lee, who's been on this show,
and
she lives just down the road from me here. She wrote a book, and I'm having a senior moment. Can't remember the title, but if you've read that most recent book of hers, you would think that somebody took her book and decided to make it real life because it's a lot of things that she wrote is what's going on.
Yeah.
So, as fiction writers, sometimes we hit on the truth that's coming and we just don't know it yet. So,
yeah, that's true. I don't personally have that problem. Of course, I write about 1880s, but
yeah, you deal with the past and
I deal with the past.
Speculative fiction guys, we deal with the future.
Are you talking about her book, A Single Light?
I believe that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I just thought, since we were talking about it, in case anybody had enjoyed an interview with her and wanted to know what she was up to now, the A Single Light is the newest, is her newest book. And yes, it's about emerging from a bunker and back into a country ravaged by disease. Yes.
Right. Right. Well, and she's also a great guest. So
yeah, she's a wonderful guest. She was good. On not long ago. Yeah.
Yeah, not long ago. So she's been on a couple of times. And, you know, actually, the people that are coming back are proving to be really good guests. We have actually have JR coming back week after next. So.
Yes. And very looking forward to talking to him. And he was telling me where he lives, it is now mandatory that they have to have a mask on when they go out.
Is that right? I think the feds are somewhat reticent to say, OK, you have to wear a mask. You know, just do keep the
right.
Keep, you know, keep the mask for the people who are working in the hospitals and the first responders. Yeah. Just stay your 6 feet away and, you know, don't spit on your neighbor.
I guess he's in the Redlands area now. I guess it was L.A. County has made it. I think he had shared that L.A. County and some, you know, had made it more like mandatory. So he's expecting it's going to. You know, that's going to find its way to where he is. Yeah. But
I think he's in Riverside County. Riverside County.
I said Redlands, yeah. Riverside. Yeah.
And my respiratory therapist wife wants to point out that if you're going to wear a mask, it has to go over the mouth and the nose.
The nose, right. Yes.
Right.
We see, you see so many people just on the mouth. It's like you wasted a mask.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, because of my nationality, I can't find a mask big enough to go over my nose and my mouth. I have to pick one. it's good that we could joke. We shouldn't make light, but to hell with it. We're gonna.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you have to. You can't get to a point where you're just everything is doom and gloom, because if you do that, you're just going to go in a downward spiral with it. It's not a great situation, but it's a situation we can get through. And, you know, just be smart and be patient and we'll get out. We'll get out from under this.
Right. Right. Okay. Richard, let's talk a little bit about publishing books.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's...
Okay. Tuscany Bay, of course, was a standalone title, as was Black Dog. And I believe it was 2016 or 2017.
I believe it was 17.
When after some chips and salsa and some fajitas and a great lunch, we decided to merge the two companies. Mm-hmm. And it's done pretty well for itself. We picked up, of course, the anthology series, all the planetary anthologies, which we have now done, I think, four, right?
Yeah. The fourth one comes out this Tuesday. It's planetary anthology series.
Three were new.
Yeah, the first three you did were Pluto, Luna, and Uranus, and those are the brand new ones.
Correct. And then we're on the used ones now. We're redoing them.
The secondhand planets, right? Well, I mean, we pick up the series from Superversa Press when they shut down. Right. And they were gracious enough to say, if anybody wants to pick this up, we'll give you everything, all the rights, just, you know, if you'll finish it. And so we had to wait because of Amazon and their 90-day rule. We had to wait until the original five cleared that 90-day embargo. Right. And so now we're clear, and now we're going to re-release Mercury. Venus comes out at the end of May. Earth is the 1st of June. Mars will come out in August, and it will have two brand new stories that weren't in the first edition.
Okay.
And then Jupiter comes out at the end of September. And then we go back to the last of the three that are still waiting to get their first edition, which is Sol in November, Neptune in December. And then we finish it up with Saturn next February.
Okay. And then let's talk a little bit about publishing a book, because I'm sure a lot of the new writers out there haven't the foggiest idea where to go or what to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways you can. I mean, if you do traditional or if you do indie, it's a completely different process.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And we are considered indie publishers.
Yes, we are.
Even though we are a licensed business and we have everything we need to do, we're still considered an indie publisher.
Yeah, we're kind of an indie publisher, small press type situation. Right. And there is a lot of great indie small press publishers that have come out in the last year or two that are bringing out great stories that otherwise would never have been published and read.
And let's talk a little bit about the difference between a major, one of the big five, and the indie presses, because there is, I mean, when the quality of the writing and the quality of the book really is no different. It's how the writers are treated. And
yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that for a minute, because we have, like I said, and you know it real well, that this show is geared towards new writers. So let's give info they need.
I keep getting this on my social media. New writers, well, you know, they know that I originally started as a traditionally published author,
right?
And transitioned to indie. The traditional route is that you have to finish your book first. And if you're going to go that route, you better go get yourself an editor before you start sending it out
Correct.
To an agent and to a publisher,
right.
because that will improve your chances of getting an agent to even look at it.
Right.
So you would do that. You would get it edited. When you think you're ready, you start querying the agents, and
right.
and very few times are you going to get a yes on your first query. On mine, it took me 118 queries before I had an agent pick me up.
Right.
So be used to the word no and grow a thick skin.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean your writing sucks. It's not a negative towards you. There's just that many people trying to get their foot in the door that it's, you know, you've got a big field to fight. So
right.
you would go get the agent, say the agent signed you up, then they have to start querying the publishers. And that's a process that could take another year. And hopefully you get a publisher that says yes, and then they start processing. And there's more editing after the agent gets it, after the publisher gets it. You're going to be doing rewrites. There's the editing part of it. Even if a publisher picks you up, expect to do marketing, because there's only so much they can do, and they've got all these authors. So they will do, say they will, if they have an email newsletter, they'll put it on their social media. But if you're expected to get out there and go on shows like The Writer's Block, or go out to the local newspapers or magazines and
right.
hustle up the interviews,
right.
buy your promotional material. If we have time, there's a story I tell of an author who was with one of the bigger publishers, not going to name names. And he had this stuff set up at a show, and I'm like, wow, they went all out with all this stuff. And he goes, no, I bought all this myself. This is me. They just released it, put it on a newsletter, and now I'm out here hustling up these shows, getting this promotional material, and doing all the work. So you, as a writer, you've got to expect
right.
this is the things that you're going to be facing, even if you go the traditional route.
Right. Right. Hang on to that thought for just a second. We need to take a time out, real quick break here. And let's hear a little bit about Out West.
Once upon a time, there was a man and wife. One day, the man said to his wife, April is National Poetry Month. How can we celebrate? And his wife said, husband, there's nothing like a pinch of poetry or a great story to brighten the day. And the man said, we have lots of poet and author friends writing and reciting. And his wife said, let's create an entertaining short daily post on Facebook. And the man said, what shall we call this daily post? And the voice said, name it your daily pinch of poetry. And the wife said, beginning April 1st, I will post on our Facebook pages, Out West Shop, The Writer's Block, and Rendezvous with a Writer. It's as good as done. Find out more about your daily pinch of poetry at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, and shop for great merchandise at outwestshop.com. And the man, his wife, and their customers, fans, and friends live happily ever after, because it's always a great day out west.
Now, Bobby Jean, why don't you explain a little bit about what this Rendezvous with the Writer thing is? Because I'm sure a lot of people are kind of confused.
Well, you know, we were talking about, even a minute ago, authors making appearances and such. And
right.
we're under this dark shadow that we all know about. And it has canceled live literary events, book signings. It has canceled festivals, storytelling festivals, music festivals, where cowboy poets, that's our world, often would appear. And musicians are finding some outlets out west, Facebook Live and other places. They're really taking in droves to stay out in the public eye. But authors and poets, not so much. And so Jim and I, my husband and I, began to think about this. We host an event every year, as you both know, the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival called Buckaroo with Bookshop. And that event got canceled. And so J.R. Sanders and his wife, Rose, they reached out to us sort of late March, before April 1st. And they said, you know, could we figure out how to take the Buckaroo Bookshop and put it online? Could we figure out how to sort of do a mini festival and, you know, and do it online? And so we began to kind of think about this. And out of that, a daily post on our Rendezvous with a Writer Out West page, Rendezvous with a Writer Out West is kind of the homepage. And then I spread it across a bunch of pages, including the Writer's Block Facebook page. And every day at 2 o'clock, I create a post about a featured poet and another one about a featured writer. Mm-hmm. And it's our way of bringing some attention to these folks. And I spend a lot of time on that post. If they've been on the radio show with us, there's a podcast link. I put up pictures of publications or books or, you know, there's a lot of information there. And mm-hmm. feature, again, a pinch of poetry features a writer. I mean, a poet. And a dose of imagination features a writer. Both of you have been highlighted this week.
I was honored to see that. I was
cool. Yeah, and Bob Brill, you know, past co-host and a wonderful writer, he's doing a virtual book signing this Sunday.
This weekend.
April 12th. And so we wanted to help Bob get that word out. And so we featured Bob a couple of days ago. And he has a brand new book that he was going to launch at the Buckaroo Bookshop. And so that's been on our hearts, is how can we, in our little way, how can we continue to find audiences for our poet and author friends that can't, you know, some are doing, I've been kind of following some different websites that promote authors and such. And there are some interesting online things that are going on and authors that are, you know, reading live on Instagram, or there's a whole world of really kind of interesting, exciting things that are happening out of this shadow that we're under. But that's our piece. And I would just say to our listeners, this is what a great time to be reading. What a great time to be listening to podcasts. We all love to binge, but oh my gosh, use this time to get yourself, you know, read a book, the type of book you'd never maybe would normally pick up. Support your local bookstore still. They may be doing curbside delivery. They may be able, you know, ship to you, because our bookstores are going to really suffer during this time also. And so that's sort of my plea. Support poets and authors now more than ever during this quiet time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great idea. And like I said, I was honored to find that I was featured yesterday. So
yeah.
I went to my website to see what I was all about, and I found out. I said, I already know this.
Yeah, and
is there a quiz?
There's two posts every day.
There is. That's great. That's great. Okay, back to Richard. Thank you, Bobby Jean. Richard,
yes.
We have actually a document that we send out to new aspiring writers, and that book is called Shameless Self-Promotion.
Oh, yeah.
And I have sent it out to quite a few, and the response I get back is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that you've got to do, especially if you're going to go indie. And it's not for every writer. And I tell writers that there's a heavy workload that comes with taking this step. Yeah, there are payoffs for it, but you have to promote yourself everywhere you could possibly think of, and even some that pop up that you don't think of.
Right.
You know, standing in line at the supermarket, you could promote yourself if you're in the right, you know, right situation. But yeah, you have to be willing to get out there and get your name out there and get your book out there if you want people to see it.
Right. And we did We actually did. We've done a couple books for different writers. One was for Bruce Soheim, which was Timeless, a personal paranormal history. His first book, not his second, his third. He's already had his third, but his first one, which did very well. And we actually, I set up a couple meetings and a couple of book signings for Bruce, and that did pretty well. And then the closest one to now, or the nearest to right now, was Miranda Oh. Mm-hmm. And we did her book, Tits Up, Chin Out, or Chin Up, Tits Out.
Yeah.
Book three, Just Breathe. And she did a book signing. She had an entire weekend event.
Yeah, she
in
did.
In Canada, she did. Mm-hmm. And she sold out.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Those are nice.
She ordered 150 books and sold out the first day.
Oh, man. So
she also had with samples left. And her books are now, she's coming in slowly, you know, getting the ones and sending them out to other people and here and there. But Miranda's book was a lot of fun because Miranda's a lot of fun. And her first two books were a lot of fun. And Bobby Jean, you read one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and she's a stitch.
she really is a kick. And you know, yeah. To talk to her, you'd never realize that she is who she is. But but we did that. And then now we're into these anthologies. And, of course, Richard and I have written books separately and published them under Tuscany Bay. Mm-hmm. And then the anthologies are published under Tuscany Bay. So Tuscany Bay right now as a publisher is getting a very good name.
Yeah, we've got I actually have a list of authors who have contacted me looking to see if we would be interested in their books. And that is on my stack of things that are staring at me right now.
Well,
we've got one author that I really have enjoyed so far what I've read. So there's going to be other people that are going to be flying under our banner soon. And
right.
I'm really looking forward to getting them out there and getting people to find some new authors and hear some new voices.
Well, just so the new writers know, the submission process is the same. It's a query letter, You have to give a brief synopsis, a one-page synopsis of the book. Mm-hmm. I want to go with the first three chapters because you get a better feel. And that needs to be 8.5 by 11, double spaced, so we can read it. Times New Roman 12-point font.
And they can send it in a Word document. I mean,
absolutely.
they don't have to print it. I just want to make sure that you don't have to print it out and mail it. Send us the Word doc.
Right.
But make sure it's formatted that way because our old eyes would appreciate being able to read it a lot better without the big magnifying glass, you know?
The reason for that being is that once we get it, and if we approve the manuscript and we want to work on it, there's a contract that does ensue after that. And then once that is done, we go to work on Richard and I both will edit the book. Mm-hmm. We do charge for it. It's not free. There is a basic initial cost, but then whatever runs above and beyond the initial cost is up to the author to pay. Editing is not cheap. Editing runs around $20 an hour just for us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to hire an editor, be prepared to pay $50, $60 an hour.
Yeah.
We don't edit content unless we find a glaring mistake. We go more for punctuation, sentence structure, etc. We don't go for content. So if you're looking to say, well, an editor just screwed my story all up, that's not us. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Your story is your story. Go ahead, Bobby Jean.
I just like to go back to the query letter for just a moment, if I can.
Okay.
Because maybe I'm a brand new writer and I'm just starting to even figure out where I find the names of publishers and such. And I understand, you know, what you'd be looking for in my chapters. But what would be important tips on how to write that query letter? Are there important keywords to be sure I would put in there, or what all are you looking for in a query letter?
An introduction to yourself as a writer.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be real long. It just has to make us want to finish the letter and read the chapters you sent.
So is it should be on one page? You know, you don't want a whole epistle about myself.
No,
you want it.
I already know your history. Besides that, I don't want to.
Well,
watch.
Well, you no, wouldn't. I mean, you don't know. You wouldn't. Know everybody that mails to you, though.
I know that you wore out your. Never mind.
I know with mine when I sent mine out. I introduced myself as for my first book I have just completed my first novel. I am a writer with however many years experience in newspapers that I had at the time. The title of the book,
right.
What it, basically a quick little blurb about what it's about. Give me a word count. Give me the genre that you're writing in. A couple of don'ts is don't do this. Dear publisher, I've got this book I wrote and it's okay.
Yeah,
I got one of those.
Yeah,
I got one of those.
Important
it's like,
to
get
know.
Out of here.
Yeah.
If it's only okay, why are you sending it to me?
Yeah.
It's just a real brief introduction to yourself and to the book, and always include the word count.
Yes.
Always include the word count.
Okay, and make then sure that's the total word count to the end of the book.
Correct.
So you're not sending out query letters with your first three chapters just to see if you'd be interested in publishing. You really have to have a completed story, completed manuscript.
Yes. Well,
okay.
You know what? If you're John Sanford, which we know personally,
yes.
You don't because you're John Sanford.
You probably don't need to send a query letter, right?
if you're Nebo Kirschbaum, who nobody knows, then you better have a completed manuscript.
Yeah,
I would imagine if John Sanford called to somebody, I've got this book I want to write. Whenever you want to send it, John will print it.
You're golden. Just send it.
So would you suggest that an author would maybe already have a social media presence? Some kind of, something where you could see that they already have some followers, even if a book maybe isn't out yet. Maybe they're blogging. Are there some things that you would maybe recommend that an author do to begin to create a presence for themselves?
You definitely want to be on social media. Now, the thing you want to do is you want to make a social media platform that is separate from your already existing Facebook account,
because
you don't want your friends and family and all that stuff that goes on there on your author Facebook. In my case, I actually built two different Facebook profiles. One's for family only and one is for author. But I also have an author page on Facebook. And that's where you want people pointing at. You want them going to that. Mm-hmm. A blog is very good. A website is also a very good thing. Have that on there. Twitter is kind of a cesspool these days, but get on Twitter, but stick to your writing subjects and don't get distracted with some of the other stuff that goes on in Twitter. And I speak from experience on that point.
Right. okay. Hang tough, guys. We're going to run another real quick commercial and then we'll be back with you. But how about a little word about our sponsor, LA Talk Radio. Hey, J. Michael here for LA Talk Radio. And if you're like me and you love talk radio, but you just can't find anything on that pesky little AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune into LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is a .com and they have it all, from music to sports to self-help, but they even have talk. So why don't you sit back in your favorite chair, put your feet up, tune into LATalkRadio.com, and give us a listen. Guaranteed to be fun for you, and we're coming at you right now. And we are back with publisher and writer Richard Polinelli, of course, my dear friend Bobby Jean Bell, and myself, Jim Christina. It is now 7:34, and if you want to talk to Richard or myself or even Bobby Jean, if the phones are working, great. If not, sorry, you tried. 818-602-4929. That should get you into the studio, 818-602-4929. And, where were we, Richard? We were talking about...
We were talking about establishing a social media presence.
Yes,
and the one thing I did want to add is when you are doing your social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, your blog, your website, whenever you're doing anything that involves your writing, always remember, this is a business. Treat it as that. Don't start playing games with it like it's all a hobby, because people will pick up on that and they won't take you seriously and they won't want to find out more about what you're doing. So this is a business you're getting into. Remember that every time you do anything, especially online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
When you receive a query letter and you're reading the manuscript and you say to yourselves, I don't think this is for us. I'm assuming that you would reply back. So mm-hmm. the person mm-hmm. knows, mm-hmm. Do you share a little bit about why you're choosing, do you give them some counsel at all? Or do you just kind of say, thank you, but no, thank you. Or do you give them a little coaching?
Well, indie publishing is a little bit different than mainstream, big five publishing, because indie publishing, it's I hate to say it's vanity, but it kind of is, in the fact that most indie publishers will take anything you got. I mean, we're a little more discerning than that. And in fact, Richard and I have talked about a few things we got. I mean, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Because it's your time and energy. I mean, it's,
Yeah, we had a guy who used to call into the show all the time, Bobby Jean, and send us emails. Uh-huh. John Lenore.
Uh-huh.
And he sent me a manuscript that he wanted us to do about, politics.
I recall what he was working on. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I sent it back to him. I said, John, I said, I said, this may be really, really, really good, but you're overwriting it. Mm-hmm. You've got it beyond the point of anybody's understanding. Mm-hmm. You understand it, but the average reader that's trying to read this is going to have to not only one have a dictionary, but have a thesaurus and an encyclopedia next to him because it's I had a hard time understanding what was going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how far he went with that, but I think he got a little mad at me. But I'm sorry, John, if you're listening. But you have to be within the realm of what you can do,
right?
And mm-hmm. Richard and I are both writers. Actually, we write amazingly alike. In fact, that was proven when we did The Last Lonely Trail. Okay, most people can't tell where I was writing and where Richard was writing because it all blended so well.
Which I was proud that we were able to do that because I like the fact that people can read it and they're like, I have no idea who was doing what.
I have no clue who what. It's just a great story.
Yeah, I mean, in my case, I get a lot of the sci-fi stuff that is submitted. And I have told people who have reached out to me to say, hey, I'd like to send in a query. I'm like, yes, please do. But, give me some time, because at the time we were just taking over the Planetary series. And right. we are just now getting to a point where I feel like we're caught up.
Yeah, we're not buried right now.
So I told him as soon as we were at that point, I'd start looking at their stuff. So
yeah, it was a month and a half. Richard was shooting me manuscripts.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's shooting me 8.5 by 11 single space or double space manuscripts that are in the thousands of pages. And I've got a format and I've got to move them down to where they're handleable. And one, I think it was,
Luna.
Luna. I virtually had to drop down the type size.
Yeah.
It was originally like 900 and some odd pages.
Yeah.
I had to drop it down to like, I think it dropped down eventually to like 600 and what was it, 70 some or something? I don't remember how many pages, but it was a bunch.
Yeah, that Luna is a monster, and we've got an audiobook narrator who just got done with Pluto, and he's going to start in on Luna, and I'm afraid we're going to kill that poor boy.
I know. Because
this is a monster book. But yeah, I mean, while Jim was doing that, I was doing the covers.
Yeah, and Richard's doing the covers. I'm the format.
And the book trailers.
Yeah, Yeah, I wanted to ask about book trailers because, Richard, when I was doing your featured author a page the other day, it was very fun to look at. There was, you had several trailers, not for every one of your books, but you had several. Luna was one of them. Yeah. Luna and Pluto and I don't remember but they were really cool.
Mercury,
and I wondered, as a public, so did you create those as an author, or do you as a publisher offer that could be something, maybe that's an add-on, you know, if you want a book trailer, it's going to be, you know, a la carte this much. Tell me a little bit about book trailers.
That's a good idea.
I decided to do book trailers for the Planetary series because it was something that Superversive had done for the first.
We lost you.
I'm here.
Yeah, I got you back.
Okay. I wanted to do something for the authors and the editors who survived that stretch where we weren't sure if our books were going to get published. And Superversive had done the book trailers for the first five. So I figured, okay, I will take this on and hopefully I can put something together. And if not, I'll go find somebody who can, but I'm lucky that I had learned enough of video editing doing A Scribe's Journey last year that I was able to go get some of the video clips and whatnot and put this thing together and then give everybody a chance to see their name roll by, excuse me, on the book trailer. So, you know, would we do that with all of our books? I'm not going to put myself in a corner and say yes.
I think the anthologies, yes, because it causes an excitement in the sci-fi world. And because there are some phenomenal stories. I mean, what was it? Which one was the one that was the big one?
Luna.
Luna had like 22 authors in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's 22 great stories. And I mean, I read them all.
Yeah, of course.
As I'm formatting and everything else, I go back because I have to put into breaks and everything else. So I go ahead and read the book while I'm there. And I say, wow, this is, I'm not a sci-fi guy. You know that. I mean, but I like these stories.
Yeah, we have some amazing people. There are award winners. There's John C. Wright, who is a well-known sci-fi fantasy author who has won.
Declan Finn.
Declan Finn. Louis Antonelli.
Right.
Is a Dragon Award finalist like I was the same year. I think he and I both were 2017s. I'm going to leave people out if I do this, but Jaji Lamprighter is also a Dragon Award finalist. We've got some great new authors that I hope people will follow as we go. Bukera Brumley, A.M. Freeman. I should probably stop because I want to leave people out and get people mad at me, but there are well-known Jody Lynn Nye, who I was trying to think of. And plus Kevin J. Anderson, who is a award-winning sci-fi author as well.
Right.
So there's these established authors with amazing stories. There's these brand new authors who have created equally amazing stories. And I have yet to come across one where I read it and went, ugh, you know, they're well done. They fit the theme for each book and the overall theme for the series, which is, in keeping what Superversive did, and I don't want to go into the whole what is Superversive, but you feel like you are uplifted when you read a Superversive story as opposed to the kind of dystopian stuff that we're seeing a lot of people where it's all doom and gloom and it's all bad.
Right.
You know, it's a completely different way. And these authors, new and old, really hit the mark on the themes for each book and for the overall series. And I'm just, I can't be more proud of how this thing is turning out.
Yep. Yep. I totally agree. But if you're a new writer and you were out there and you're listening to this, or you're going to listen to the podcast later, I strongly suggest that you get a hold of either Richard or myself at, you can go to blackdogpublishing.co or you can go to tuscanybaybooks.com. And our email addresses are in there. I'll give them to you at the end of the show as well. But please do send us a introduction letter, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And we'll be more than happy to look at your manuscript. If we're interested, we'll tell you, and we'll be honest about what we've read. So,
and there's a contact form on TuscanyBay.com. It right, just says contact us, click it, fill it out, send it, and it comes right to me.
There you go. And, you know, it's we're not afraid to read books. I mean, you know, Bobby Jean and I have been doing it straight for 5 years.
And I'm reading Bob Brill's Lancer book right now.
I have not got that book. Actually, he's supposed to send me a copy, so I'm going to have to get on Bobby's butt. But because I was supposed to do that book.
Well, I think I saw a little something back and forth between you two about that. Format. I don't know what it was, but I thought,
he found somebody right there to do it, and good for him.
Yeah.
But
Besides the trailers, you were talking about the audiobook a minute ago, and then ebook. So as a publisher, again, maybe it's a la carte. I don't know, but should an author be asking the questions? You know, like, so if you publish my book, will it also be available audio? Downloadable, you know, as a publisher, should one expect those features to be also available?
That's totally separate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Audiobooks are totally a different life. They're, I mean, first of all, you got to find somebody who's going to do the book correctly. And that's one thing we had a hard time finding to do The Last Lonely Trail, is that because these two boys are from Texas, everybody wanted to do a Southern accent.
Yeah.
And what Richard and I did when we wrote the book was we wrote the accents into the dialogue. So all you had to do was read it.
Yeah.
You know, it's real simple. Read the story.
Yeah. It's audiobooks are a really different breed of cat because, you know, you've got to do the auditions.
Right.
I was fortunate with Escaping Infinity and finding Aaron Miller. And he's hopefully going to be doing one of my other books here pretty quick. He's got things going on, so we're kind of on hold with that project. But Theo Holland did my Del Rio series, and Theo is just amazing with that series. I just wish I could get the fourth Del Rio book done so I could get him back to work, because he does so good. And we were fortunate with the anthology series to get Gareth Richards, who sounds really good, and he's from Great Britain, so he's got that bit of a British accent that lends to the story. Yeah. So.
And newsflash, you'll hear it here first. I am doing the audio on Last Lonely Trail.
I wasn't going to say anything. I want to see if you wanted to do that.
In fact, I set aside time starting Monday to get on that book and go chapter by chapter by chapter. And right now, but hang tough, though. We're going to have a real quick word from my publicist and my friend, Mickey Mickelson at Creative Edge Publicity. Okay, you've written a book. Now what are you going to do? Well, why don't you give Creative Edge Publicity a try? You see, when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. Like an old pair of shoes or an old friend, they work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and they work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals. So Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future. Mickey Mickelson Publicists, and you can find them at www.creative-edge.services.
Hello, hello, hello. Did I lose you?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Uh-oh, I think Jim got booted.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm right here. I had myself on mute. So anyway.
Oh, that happens, yes.
Oh, my God. You know, I get so many buttons here I got to push. I forget to push.
Ronan's yelling at you. There's dead air.
I hate that, too. Anyway, next week, Ann Charles will be with us. and she'd be with Russ and I, and she's a writer of all kinds of different genres, and her latest is a Western called A Long Way from Ordinary. It's an Anne Charles Sam Lucky novel. It's part of the Deadwood Undertaker series. It's number two in the series. And I started reading it last week when I forgot I had Richard on this week. And it's really a fun story. So anyway, we're looking forward to Anne. She's like a USA Today best-selling writer. And she's, I mean, the chick is like, she's got everything going for her.
What's her name again? I want to promote her. What's her name again?
Anne Charles.
Charles. Anne Charles.
Anne.
Okay.
And Charles. Anyway, Richard, oh man, thank you so much for joining us. And I didn't get into half of what I wanted to get into tonight.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast these 50 minutes go flying by. But I'm glad to be back on with you guys. And it's interesting how far we've all gone in the last 2.5 years since we first met, right?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, Richard, you're welcome to come in at any time. And join the conversation. If you happen to know the writer or want to know the writer.
Okay.
We've got your Skype name and number, and we can always give you a holler.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It's not like I'm going anywhere and doing anything on Thursday nights now anyway, right?
Yeah, we're not right now. Well, except for bowling when you can walk out of the house.
Well, that's Wednesday. So that's Wednesday. So that's my Wednesday. So yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. And the email addresses, if you want to get a hold of Richard or myself, mine is jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com. And Richard's is R. Paolinelli, that's Paolinelli, at tuscanybaybooks.com. And we will get back to you for sure.
Most definitely.
You have a website. What is your personal website?
Mine is scifiscribe.com.
Mm-hmm. And that goes right directly to your stuff. And of course, we have TuscanyBayBooks.com. We have BlackDogPublishing.co, which lists everything that we have done as a company. And then, of course, my personal website is JimChristina.net. And you can find everything that I have written there personally. So, golly. It's been great having you back, Richard.
It's always great to be back and talking with you and Bobby. And a shame we couldn't get Russ in, but I will catch him the next time.
Well, you know, I have to call that boy. And they have goats coming. So, I mean, they have baby goats. So I think they're kind of busy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll cut them a little slack.
They actually had twin goats yesterday.
Oh my gosh!
Brand new baby goats, and Karen posted a picture of the baby goats, and they're virtually twins.
Oh!
So she was like totally a proud mama. So anyway, guys, don't go away after the show goes off. Let's chat a little bit more. But for right now, for Bobby Jean, myself, Jim Bill, who is always back in the back. I know that. Oh, he's holding a wall up somewhere.
He's got a beverage in his hand.
Happy belated birthday, Jim. And Richard Paolinelli, Russ Avison, and myself, Jim Christina, and the crew, including Ronan Rosner, of the Writer's Block. We are out of here.